Hallelujah. Speaking of that was in Isaiah 54, teaching us how to fast. Israel was complaining to God that we've been praying, but there's nothing happening. We've been tearing ourselves, afflicting ourselves, but nothing is happening. And briefly later on, they were corrected that actually, whatever you're doing is useless. This was the fast that God chose, that out for peace, where different areas were explained what we ought to do in order for our prayers to be heard. I want to so much there because, of course, we've gone through that area. I wanted today just to specifically start with the area whereby the disciples were asking Jesus Christ when they were praying for this child who had issues and they failed to cast out the demons. The Bible says the disciples came and asked Jesus that why can't we cast out these demons out of him? Now, when we go to the book of Matthew chapter 17, from verse 16 to 21, that's where I'm referencing from. Jesus answered the disciples that some of these things do not go away, but by prayer and fasting. Not everything is that you're just going to walk there and things will just start happening. Just a brief background of how we see the ministry of Jesus Christ. It was actually mainly based on prayer. Before he was called into ministry, the first thing that he did, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And he fasted for 40 days before he started the ministry. Which means that in our lives, we need to emulate, we need to copy that kind of life. It might seem simple, but it's very pivotal in our Christian life to start with prayer and fasting. Just also to give you, give a recap back, what I have said is I'm not going to explain the details of prayer because that's what we've been going through the entire month. But prayer, just briefly, is a communion between you and your God. Prayer is personal. We might teach each other how to pray, but the Holy Spirit alone will be able to teach you how to pray. And how you relate and commune with your God, that will create your kind of prayer life that you need. So we literally need the Holy Spirit. We need to start from the beginning with prayer and fasting in whatever we do. Now, of course, that being said, I just wanted to share a few areas where I noticed different men of God, how they fasted, and what God had done for them, and why we even bother to start even fasting. Just from the verse that we had talked about, where Jesus said that some of these things do not go away, but by prayer and fasting, which means there is need for prayer. There are some things that can be solved by just prayer. But it also means that there's some things that will only go away by prayer and fasting. And some of those things are debilitating spirits. Mufe olabanga waliwe chintu chosabya nechisoka chikireka nechikireka oba ekizibu ekyo nechisoka kivaawo. Naye ate ogenda okulaba nga kikomawo at a certain time. Kibeera kikomawo at a certain season. Kibeera kirepeatinga ne mu baana bo, kigenderera ne mu bintu ebirala. Now, these are the things that we are talking about, debilitating spirit. Omwami we explained that when he explained to the disciples, also to Jesus later on, he said that he always has something that throws him down. It throws him in the fire, in hot water, in everything. He gets burned. He's trying to explain something that is debilitating. Debilitating means that it's keeps on carrying over and over and over and over. Which means, yes, you will pray there, yes, might stop, but it's going to occur again. Some of these things may not be displaying themselves that way. Naye oyinza okwesana bibeera mu ngeri y'okusoma, osoma bulungi, bw'osinga mu kibiina, naye otuuka ku final exams nkugwa. Naye ate abamu nga batuuka ku final exams ne bayemererwa n'okugikola. I was just sharing, one of my friends was just sharing with me where she had failed to sit for exams for some good time. That every time she would go and pay the tuition, but every time she would get to the examination time, something would happen. At one point, she lost her father. At one point, they found out that she hadn't even registered, yet she had applied, rather registered, she'd been attending class, but she wasn't in the system. Something comes up at a certain time. These are the things that call for that kind of spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us that we have to keep guard because our enemy, I mean, the enemy, the devil, you know, is worrying. He's roaring, which means that he keeps coming back and forth, back and forth. He never sleeps. He comes to keep checking. He comes to keep checking to check what is happening. What is happening? What should I do? Where can I attack? Is there anything? Which means the spiritual warfare has to keep going on. The Bible reminds us that we have to keep on praying. Pray in the spirit at all times. So when we talk of the spiritual warfare, it's a very big subject, but this is just one of the examples that I just wanted to share with you, where Jesus told the disciples that some of these things cannot go away, but by prayer and fasting. But remember at one point, the disciples of John the Baptist came and asked Jesus Christ, that why does your disciples not pray and fast? And you know what Jesus told them? That when the bridegroom is still around, there is no need of fasting. But time will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, that they will have to fast. Which meant that he was still with the disciples. Yes, they were still learning of him, learning what to do. Much as he fasted, they did not fast, yes. At one point, even Peter or the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. They did know, they were still learning how to pray. But when he was going, he said that as he's going, he's going to send them the Holy Spirit and he will teach them, he will continue to teach them. Which means that as long as the bridegroom was still around, they didn't have to pray. I mean, look, of course, the bridegroom was solving the problems for them. When they failed to cast out the demons out of this little boy, he came out for them. He reached out. And of course, the boy was healed. But time came when he wasn't there. He sent the Holy Spirit, who taught them what to do. Now, I just wanted to also give you some examples of different areas of how different men of God pleaded with God for the cause of the people of Israel. And God made food for them. These things did not just come on a silver platter. No. They had to fast. They had to get out of the comfort zone, fast, intercede for mercy for the children of Israel, for God's mercy, and for forgiveness, and for breakthrough. When you look at the life of Moses, Moses' life was based on prayer. The Bible says that he always went to the mountain to speak to God. And because he went to that secret place, he went and pleaded with God, he went and spoke to God. One part of the Bible says that when he came back, his face was shining, which means that he had communion with God. Every time the children of Israel were going off guard, off astray, rather, he always pleaded for mercy for their cause and for their restoration. And of course, God had mercy upon them, and they were restored back. When we look in the book of Israel, when the children of Israel were coming out of captivity and they were going back to rebuild the temple, Israel had been given a go-ahead to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. But listen what he said later on in the chapter, Ezra chapter 8, verse 22-23. He said, he first convened the children of Israel by the river Ahavir and pleaded with them. He said that I fear to ask the king for protection. Because along the way, they had that there were caravans of people, men who would, of course, slaughter them just before they reached the other side of the city. So they were scared, but at the same time, they had to go ahead. It's not that God was not with them. These were children of Israel. Every time they were released from captivity, it meant that God had mercy on them. So they had this confidence that God is with us, but they still had to go an extra mile. In the book of Israel, he reminds us that we fasted for 3 days for our protection of ourselves, the children, and everything. Which means that fasting is part, has to be part of our lives, especially when we are fearful, when we are scared, when we are looking for direction. We need to fast. We need to fast. Now, something else that I wanted us to point out is that if you notice, every part of these people's lives, they remained rooted in God. They remained rooted in the word of God. They always reminded each other of God's word. We cannot pray without God's word. We cannot pray without God's word. We need to understand what the word says before we can even pray. Otherwise, you will not know the direction. When Jesus was being tempted in the desert, the devil, Satan, of course, came and was trying to tempt him to turn the stones into bread. Because he was, of course, hungry. Any of us who has gone through fasting, you can know that the time you fast, that's what you're going to feel hungry the most. On a regular basis, if you're having your free life, you might even take a whole day without eating and you're not feeling it. But the time you say that you're going to fast, you're going to feel very hungry. But the devil came and tried to take Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He was reiterating what he was saying again, or reminding the devil of the word of God that had been talked about in the Old Testament. That's very biblical. So which means that Jesus actually knew the word of God that had been spoken previously in the Old Testament, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know? So we need to understand the word of God in order for us to be able to fast properly. That being said, during this time of spiritual warfare, the Holy Spirit, as we were sharing with Musumba about the spiritual warfare, we were taken to the book of Daniel. Just a brief recap of the life of Daniel. He was called at a time when the Jews or the children of Israel had been taken in captivity. This was a time, you remember in the Bible, if we usually check in the Bible, every time the children of Israel sinned or rebelled against God, God used this kind of punishment to bring them back in order. He always led them to be captured either by the Philistines or Babylonians or whichever area that was neighboring them. So it was a form of trying to get them back in their senses that they need to come back to God. This was the time when Daniel was called. But the Bible, time after time, shows us that Daniel was somebody who feared God. That was the first thing. Much as they were randomly keys to the king's palace, he feared God. Remember, when they were taken into captivity, they were doing whatever they wanted. They were worshiping other gods. They had intermarried. They had gone astray and sinned against God. But the Bible says that Daniel spoke to himself that he's not going to defile himself at any one point. Even the time when they were given the food to eat, that would require the message of what you find yourself. Why am I giving this background about the spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare calls for purity, for righteousness. We've been seeing instances where you're going to spiritual warfare and we fall sick. Why would that be? There always counterattacks. You think you'll be praying, but during that time of prayer and fasting, you fall sick. Why would that be? These are counterattacks that come. So we need to make sure that you put your life, spiritual life, in order. The Bible shows us that Daniel spoke himself and said he's not going to defile himself, not even with eating this kind of choice food, the delicious food that the king had set for them. The Bible did not talk about his other three friends, but only spoke specifically about him. He spoke himself and said he's not going to. No wonder, if you look at exactly what happened in this book of Daniel, God used him out instead of others. Instead, he used him more than his other three friends. Time after time, the Bible reminds us that for whichever occasion, Daniel always went to the upper room and prayed in the secret place, which means he kept that communion with God. Every instance, he kept communion with God, which is very important as when the time of prayer and fasting, to keep God's word at hand all the time, to make sure that you keep that communion. Otherwise, the moment you disconnect from the root, you're going to be beaten left, right, and center, especially in the time of spiritual warfare. You have to keep communion with God. Something also that stood out in this book of Daniel, right at the beginning, when these four men had been called, because they feared God, God was gracious with them. The Bible says that he gave them knowledge. It's by his power that he distinguished them from other people. He gave them the knowledge that could not be compared with any of these people. But something that happened with Daniel, he gave him something extra. You notice that? Out of all of them, Daniel kept that conduit, always communicating with God, and he gave him knowledge, he gave him understanding, he gave him wisdom, but he gave him also the vision, or rather the grace to interpret dreams and visions. Talk of what the Bible says, that your gift will open doors for you. And it will, of course, make you sit with the high, you know, with the kings. What we always forget in that verse in Proverbs is that as God has given you that gift, as long as you don't fear God, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He gave them wisdom because they feared him. And that distinguished them from other people. So in this time of spiritual warfare, you have to be rooted in God, not at any one single moment to rely on your own understanding. You can never rely on your own understanding and power or education or anything, and you think you'll be able to fight spiritually. You have to be rooted in God. Because Daniel and his three friends were rooted in God, he distinguished them from other people and gave them that gift. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we move further in the book of Daniel, we see that the children of Israel were still in captivity. But because they were too long in captivity, they started crying out to God. They started actually getting back to their senses and saying, Lord, this is not where we have to be. I was reading the book of Psalms, Psalms 137, where David sang or wrote these words, that by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept. as we remember Zion. They remember the life they had in Zion. They remember the goodness of God while they were in Zion. And that was the time. Remember, these were being led at that time by the Judah people. And of course, Judah means praise. This was a time when they were in Zion and they worship God, of course, and dance up for him. But now they're remembering now Zion and the goodness they had, and now they're in captivity. They cried out to God. They cried out to God. Father, I remember David actually sang in that same chapter, Psalm 137. He said that we were told to sing our captivity, the rulers at that time that had captured them were asking them to sing for them, to play for them the songs, the harp that they played while they were in there. But they said, how can we even sing God's song in a foreign land? I mean, they had lost it all. They were in that point where they realized that the only person they needed was God. So I just wanted to show us that some of these things that we go through is because we've strayed off from God's word. We've strayed off from God's word. Later on in chapter 9, this is where we started the spiritual warfare part. Daniel, the book says, this is Daniel chapter 9. I'll just say, that's the first part of that book of chapter 9. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made the king over the realm of the Shiblans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of God through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 7 years in the desolation of Israel, of Jerusalem. Listen, God used this one man, Daniel, to deliver the people. Why? Number one, he gave in him himself for the word of God. He refused to defile himself. He stayed pure to God's word. He sought God day and night. And because of that, he understood that he only needed God. And because he had been given wisdom out of all those people, they were all in captivity. None of them ever remembered that they were actually in captivity for that long. And the time was almost coming up. But because Daniel was seeking God, he knew the word, he had the wisdom. He remembered that in the books of Jeremiah, that's I think in Jeremiah chapter 29, he remembered Jeremiah 29:10. Jeremiah had prophesied that if the children of Israel don't repent and go back to their God, they'll be taken into captivity. Now this was the time Daniel remembered that, okay, it would take 7 years, and the time was almost up. None of them had even understood that they were actually coming to the time of their release. None of them. So which shows that we need to understand and we need to learn the word of God for us to be free. There are some things that are holding us spiritually, but we don't know how to get out of it, because we do not know, rather we don't know the power of God. We don't know the word of God. We don't know what the word of God says, that we are children of God, that we've been set free, that for by his stripes we are healed. We don't know even how to proclaim his word in our situation, but it's because we do not read the Bible. Until we get back to the word of God, we cannot understand how to fight a good war, where you fight. Later on, in chapter 10, the Bible says that he continued interceding and praying. But remember in chapter 9, as he was praying, Gabriel, the angel, came to him and gave him a feedback. But remember, much as he got the feedback, he still continued to pray. In Daniel chapter 10, in the best interest of time, I don't want us to read all this because we don't have much time. In chapter 10, as I was perusing through, going through, something stood out for me. Chapter 10, verse 4. Daniel was still praying and fasting. This time he was weak. He really wanted God to do something for the children of Israel because he knew that the time was up, but they didn't know how to get out of this captivity. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says that now, on the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a sudden man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold and ozar. I mean, this is a description of the tiny that was still in prayer. The Bible says that now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the river Tigris, the first day of that month, biblically, it is, or spiritually, it's actually the first month in their calendar. Just as when the timing of January, February, March, it would be a January, but in their Jewish calendar, that actually is the beginning of their month, rather of their year. There are some things that happened around that time, if we check in the Bible. So many things happened at that time, and it was the right timing that Daniel had also chosen to stay in the world of prayer and fasting. During that time, if we check properly the Bible, this was the time the children of Israel were entering the promised land. It was around the same time of the 24th day of the first month. It was around the time that the children of Israel were entering the promised land. This wasn't just a coincidence. It was just the timing. So later on, I noticed around that same time, it was the time of the Passover, that they would celebrate the time of the Passover. Because this was around the same time that God had just delivered them from Egypt. So around that time, they would also celebrate the Passover. It was still around this time that Hezekiah reopened the temple again. When they went, remember I was talking about Ezra, when they went back to rebuild the temple. It was also around that time when the temple was reopened. So timing is very important in the spiritual warfare. When the disciples asked Jesus that time why they could not cast out the demons out of that boy, remember that it was the right timing that God had chosen for these disciples to understand that they cannot do these things by themselves. They have to understand this spiritual. When they had just failed, he reached out for them and came through for them. And the boy was healed that very hour. It calls for timing. This was the same timing when Daniel was praying and interceding for God's mercy, for God to deliver the people who are called by his name. He really pleaded to God. It was around the same time that he was coinciding with other different occasions that had happened biblically. So as we're going into this time of spiritual warfare, it's not by mistake that we are having this session of spiritual warfare, that we are going through this time of prayer and fasting. Whenever God calls to fast, there is always a reason. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ in the desert to fast for 40 days. So as a church, we believe there is a grace of God that has called us at this moment in time to go into a prayer of prayer, or rather prayer and fasting. And not just fasting alone, but also in order to break some of these things that are debilitating, the same spirit that keep reoccurring in our lives. It's my prayer that as we are sharing this today, that we are not left out at this time, that we are not left behind, that we choose this time to come through, to give in our all, to be delivered. It's until that time that we spiritually position ourselves like the way Daniel positioned himself, that we'll see the hand of God move in our church. These things that do happen to us day and night, every day in our lives, may not go away. But by prayer And fasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.